I'm going to speak on Vishnu Sahasranam. It seems that for some devotees who listen to these talks, it's an acquired taste. I saw that in an offering I read from Acharya Prabhu, that he didn't like to listen, but then he went on listening and now he likes it. It should be like that. Syat Krishna nama charitadi sitopta vidya pito patapta rasanasya charojikanu kintvadurad anudinin kalasaiva jushta svadvi kramad bhavati tadgadamula hantri. As it's stated about the holy name of Krishna, it's like, it's actually very sweet, but when we have the disease called jaundice, then sweet things appear bitter. But the medicine for jaundice is to take sweet items, well, especially misri, sugar candy. And as you go on taking it, you feel it to be sweeter. And when you're completely cured, it tastes sweet, which it is. So in the same way, hearing about Vishnu Sahasranam, it's not maybe as exciting as hearing about all the nasty things all those demons are doing and relating it to shlokas about how they all go to hell. And but it's just direct glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it should be very sweet to us. I'm going to speak on a name which I spoke on already, but unfortunately that recording was somehow or other lost. These things happen. It happens to much greater personalities than me. You may know that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Gita commentary, he finished his commentary, but then the last few pages, or whatever it wasn't exactly pages in those days, but leaves got eaten by rats. So then he just made a new ending and said that, well, the last few pages got eaten by rats, and offering my obeisances to Ganesh, I'll leave it at that. Ganesh, of course, rides on a rat. None of those stupid things that Hindus believe in, so the atheists and demons will say. So this is, I'm speaking out of order in terms of the chronological numerical order, going back. And there are a few other names also, the recordings of which are lost. So I'll have to go back and do those. Anyway, name 907 is Kundali. Often while I'm giving these talks on Vishnu Sahasranam, I comment that this name is fairly easy to understand. Some others are not very easy to understand. I'm talking probably for those who are not familiar with Indian languages, all the names are not easy to understand. But for those who are familiar with Indian languages, some are and some aren't. How do you rate Kundali? Somewhere in between. Kundal is a well-known word, which means earrings. So Kundali means one who wears earrings. That's the basic meaning. We also have Kundali as in the yoga system, and then the talk of the awakening the Kundali and the chakras, so that's also one meaning. Kundal basically means a coil. Something. So earrings are generally round. Although we see in traditional Indian jewelry that although practically every culture in the world has earrings of different kinds, but in India, they also have a kind of earring which links up with a nose ring. Which I don't know if that's in any other culture. And you hardly see that nowadays. If girls even have earrings. Of course, it used to be men and women in Indian culture would wear earrings. But then it became only the women. And that also became just hardly anything at all, if anything. So Kundali means wearing earrings. But when I think of Kundali, actually, I first of all think of my godbrother Kundali, who was quite a well-known controversial figure in our ISKCON. I don't know what happened to him. No one seems to know. He sort of vanished. If anyone who happens to hear this recorded talk, hopefully it'll get recorded and published this time. He happens to know the whereabouts or what happened to Kundali Prabhu. I'd be interested to know. He's a very, very incisive and outspoken thinker. So Kundali means Krishna, Vishnu, who has beautiful earrings. That's what it means. That's the general meaning given to this name. Within Vishnu Sahasranam, various aspects of Krishna's attractive features, his beauty, are described. So this is one feature. It doesn't describe everything about him, but it's one feature which in and of itself is fascinating to the devotees. Everything about him is fascinating to the devotees. And we see that there, in the Bhagavatam itself, again and again and again, whoops, we lost the sound there. In the Bhagavatam, again and again and again, we find elaborate descriptions of Krishna's beauty, or Vishnu's beauty. It must be something very special. Vishnu appeared in the sacrificial arena, and then it's described what he looks like and the features of his beautiful appearance. That's unusual. If you might read the news feed that President Biden, and then if someone's listening in 20 years, they've probably never heard of President Biden, but anyway. At the present time, he's a famous figure in world news. So President Biden arrived in Tokyo for talks. He had a charming smile, and even though he had no earrings on his ears were extraordinarily beautiful, and he wore such and such a suit which enhanced his beauty. You don't get that. You don't get descriptions of their good looks or their looks at all. You would get that in the descriptions of showbiz personalities or cinema stars or such and such famous beautiful woman. Who's a famous beautiful woman in India nowadays? Who's the famous film stars? You don't know. I don't know either. If you don't know, it's better. wearing such and such, this and this, that and that, and they may describe for them, because their beauty is the beauty of the skin. The formation of the skin and the stuff inside it doesn't bulge out in the wrong places, or it seems to be quite impressive. So that's their only asset, or their main asset. But for Krishna, his beauty is not his only asset. His he's not just a pin-up star. You know what that means? Pin-up star. People take a photo and they pin it up on the wall. They take a photo from a magazine and they pin it up on the wall. And then they look at that beautiful figure. So Krishna's not just a pin-up. He's beauty with brains. It may be a very beautiful woman, but often exceptionally foolish to go along with it. There's a description of Srila Prabhupada. Miss Mexico, Miss Mexico was brought to meet Srila Prabhupada on his visit. First, I think, maybe only visit to Mexico City. And it's described that she came in all dressed up with her fluttering eyelashes and said the same thing she says everywhere, that, well, I'm very happy to be here now. And Prabhupada said, why are you happy? And she was stumped. She just knew how to say a few lines and to look pretty, that's all. But she... Srila Prabhupada saw the superficiality. So Krishna is beautiful, and his beauty is an intrinsic and it's an overwhelming feature of his personality. Even the politicians, to be elected as a politician, you have to be good looking. It's not stated in the law, but you're not going to get elected if you're ugly. You never find them looking ugly. Some of them are plain, ordinary, but you don't find really ugly, successful politicians. There's some kind of maya that people think that if someone's... they're more attracted. Yeah, good looks are attractive. And you may decide that such and such, well, he looks like a really nice person, really good person. So you might, but what his... Actually, this whole democracy is really nonsense. No, I don't even the politicians themselves understand the issues they're dealing with. It's such a complex world. It's all based on advertisement, and so good looks is part of the advertisement advertisement and slogans like "Make America Great Again." All the way with LBJ. That was the slogan of Lyndon Bernard Johnson. All the way with LBJ. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything, but it was his election slogan, and it speaks to the stupidity of the American voters that they would think that this is a valid reason to vote for someone. So anyway, Krishna, he's beauty with substance. A lot of substance. Everything substance. Any aspect of Krishna we take, and this is something we explore in the discussions of Vishnu Sahasranam, any aspect of Krishna we take, it's profound, meaningful in the full sense of the term. Just like President Biden's visit to Tokyo is no doubt meaningful. I don't know if he is visiting. He probably isn't. I'm just saying it as a kind of example of the kind of things that big people in this world do. So it probably is meaningful when they go from one place and they have talks with other big people and something comes out of it and it affects the... situation in the world at the present time. So it's meaningful, but it's meaningful within a situation which is inherently and overall meaningless. So it's something like multiplying 20 million by zero. 20 million is a big number. and you multiply it by zero, and it becomes zero. So everything meaningful in this world, it definitely is meaningful, but it's meaningful meaninglessness. Because everything in this world is ultimately one big zero, unless you put that one of Krishna before it. So Krishna is beautiful, and one of his aspects is his appearance with his beautiful earrings. I was saying in the Bhagavatam there are descriptions, and so many Vaishnava poets have described Krishna. You may say, well, it's the same thing, isn't it? Just the same thing, repetitive, but every devotee has their own inspiration, how to glorify Krishna. Parashabhata takes Kundali to indicate that the referring to his earrings indicates his earrings and all the rest of his ornaments. Presumably, if you look at someone, if you look at them in the face, then the ornament that you'll first see is the earrings. Or they might see a highly decorated turban also, but if you look in the region of the face, precisely, you see the earrings. So it's indicative of he has so many ornaments. He has ornaments on his ears. He wore a nose ring, at least in his childhood, but we don't get that described much later on. We know that from the story of Sakshi Gopal, that in his childhood he wore a nose ring. He wore a nose ring. And then you may not always see his, that's another name, it comes up in this area of Vishnu Sahasranam, Angada, which means he has arm bracelets. So he has so many decorations around. He has a belt, ornamented belt. And then there'll be earrings and finger rings. So many ornaments are there. So Kundali indicates, Parashabhata takes it to mean that he's highly ornamented in various ways. Appropriately also. In other words, his style of ornamentation is samanjasa. It's fitting. People in this avant-garde age where there are no rules, they make up all kinds of different kinds of ways to try and decorate themselves. But Krishna's style of decoration is just fitting, perfect, appropriate. Specifically, he has Makara Kundala. It's well known that his earrings, the shape of them is in the form of a makara. What is a makara? Srila Prabhupada often translates this as shark or fish. But there are various forms of makara, or in the iconography and in the literary descriptions, there are various definitions or depictions of what a makara is, generally depicted as a hybrid animal, half terrestrial and half aquatic. The front part is often shown to be a stag, which means a male deer, or an elephant, and the back half is usually of a fish, a seal, a snake, sometimes a peacock, and there are other combinations like the body of a fish with the trunk of an elephant, and the feet of a lion, and the eyes of a monkey, the ears of a pig, the tail of a peacock. So Makara is varied. Srila Prabhupada makes it simple for our understanding. Looks like a shark. Krishna is not the only one to have Makara Kundala. It's also described and depicted that Shiva has, when we say Krishna, we're talking about Vishnu Sahasranam. So many of the descriptions of Krishna and Vishnu are the same. Krishna and Vishnu, they look very much the same, except that Krishna has two hands and Vishnu has four. Krishna in his two-handed form, he has his four-handed form also. And of course Vishnu can have as many arms as he likes. Sometimes he appears with eight arms, sometimes many, Nrsimhadev, thousands. But Krishna in his original form has two hands and holds a flute, which Narayan never does. Krishna can hold Shankachakra Gada Padma as Vishnu does. He can, when he shows a four-handed form, the conch, the disc, the lotus, Shankachakra, and the club. So he may have that, but Narayan, Vishnu never has the flute. Vishnu and Krishna are both inconceivably beautiful, but Krishna's beauty is more inconceivably beautiful than that of Narayan and is attractive even to Narayan. So Makara Kundala is worn by Krishna, Vishnu, Shiva, I said, Surya, and also Chandi, which is a form of Shakti, Maya, Durga, the consort of Shiva. Makara is also the insignia on the flag of the chariot of Kamadev, who is therefore known as Makara Dvaj. Makara means Makara, and Dvaj means flag. So we have names like that. Arjuna is also called Kapidvaja because he has a monkey as his. In chariot battle, you don't know which chariot, who's on which chariot. You can't say. So you have a flag, and then on the flag, the insignia shows who's who. So you have to know your friends and your enemies. So Arjuna has Kapidvaj, he has a monkey, and not any monkey, it happens to be Hanuman as his insignia. What's Krishna's? What does Krishna have on his chariot?
Garuda.
Yeah, it's Garuda. So Makara Dvaj is a name for Kamadev, the god of love, Cupid, as known in English as Cupid, Eros in Greek, in the center of London, Piccadilly Circus, there's a statue of Eros with his boat. Same idea comes. Came from the Greeks. Where did they get it from? Description of Krishna and Vishnu as Makara Kundala appears 10 times in the Bhagavatam. This term is used. So it's common description of his. In his Sharanagati Gadyam, Sri Ramanujacharya, Sharanagati Gadyam is one of the three prose works composed by Ramanujacharya spontaneously in his ecstasy in Sri Rangam. So Sharanagati Gadyam is concerned with Sharanagati, or the process and the phenomenon of being surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So within that, he describes the beauty of Ranganatha Swami, which is an impetus for surrendering to him, and within that, one of the terms is Makara Kundala. Nirati Shaya Ojvalya Kirita Mukutta Churavatangsha Makara Kundala Graiva Yaka Hara Kayura Kataka Srivatsa Kosta. You'll recognize some of these are descriptions of his appearance. Srivatsa Kostuba Mukta Damodar Pitambara. You'll recognize that probably also. Srivatsa, you know, Kostuba, Pitambara, his yellow cloth. Kanchiguna Nupuradi Aparimata Divya Bhushana. So all these descriptions are given. He has a splendorous crown or helmet with a central diadem of lustrous stone. Churavatangsa, there's other head ornaments, ear ornaments, Makara Kundala, his earrings, necklaces and other ornaments for the neck, garlands, shoulder bracelets, and that means the upper arm bracelets and then lower arm bracelets, garlands, Srivatsa, the mark on his chest, the Kostuba gem, pearl garlands, waist ornaments, yellow cloth, gold waistband, leg ornaments, Nupur means ankle bells, Nupur Adi. I mean, this is just a beginning description, just a beginning description of his Aparimita Divya Bhushana, his unlimited, divine, glorious ornaments. So in any description of his form, the Makara Kundala has to be there. That's the point here. Baladev Vidyabhushan, Gaudiya commentator gives the same meaning, that he's called, Vishnu is called Kundali, Krishna is called Kundali on account of his earrings in the form of sharks or whatever. And he also says that his crown, bracelets, necklaces, and so on are also implied here. Another commentator, V.V. Ramanujan, gives some, as he always does in his commentaries, refers to the Divya Prabandhams, and he gives some quotes from the Divya Prabandham where Makara Kundala is mentioned and glorified. Kundali means that which is coiled, and it also refers to a snake in that mystic yogic system, the Kundali Yoga. It refers to the mystic awakening in the form perceived or conceived of in the form of a snake. Don't try it. For any reason, don't try to get into this Kundalini yoga. It's very, very dangerous, actually. You can really get messed up because it puts you in, opens you up to different subtle realities, and there are all kinds of bad things out there on the subtle platform. And if you make any mistakes in Kundalini yoga, you get your astral field badly messed up by bad spirits who are waiting to catch you. So Kundalini refers to a snake. And Shankaracharya, as well as saying the one who has an ear ornament, but he gives the first meaning of the name Kundalini as the Supreme Lord in the form of Shesha, the snake, who's in his coiled form, he acts as a rest, as a bed for the Supreme Lord, himself being an expansion of that same Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavatam, 12th canto, one of the occurrences of Makara Kundala within the Bhagavatam is Bibharti Sankhyam Yogam Cha Devo Makara Kundale Molim Padam Parameshtyam Sarvalok Abhayankaram, which says that the Sankhya system and the yoga system are his two Makara Kundalas, his two earrings. This is a metaphor. It can also be seen like that. And the rest of the verse says the whole of Brahmaloka is his crown, which bestows fearlessness on all the worlds. We have a description in the Bhagavatam of Balaram as having a single earring, Eka Kundala. Ananta also is described as such. And Nityananda, who is Ananta Balaram, is also described as having one particular feature, is his earrings, Kundalini. Another recent commentator, 20th century commentator, Satyadeva Vashishta, he, in his extensive commentary, based entirely on Shruti, on the original Vedas, has attempted in most cases to give meanings entirely based on the Vedas, but which have not been given by any other known commentators in this Kali Yuga. So he comes up with a lot of original unpacking, and they're all completely bona fide, of course. But he interprets the or breaks up the syllables in a different way, often unconventional way, and takes this name to mean Kundalini, to mean, without getting into all the Sanskrit intricacies, he takes this name to mean that Kundalini means he who has the quality of burning or destruction on one hand, or protection on the other. And Satyadeva Vashishta, in many of his explanations of the name, explains these names of Vishnu in relation to his role in the material world, how he manifests in the material world, or how he can be seen in the material world. So, Satyadeva Vashishta unpacks Kundali to mean that the quality of burning or destruction or protection can refer to the sun and the fire in general, and so on, because he is the creator of these. Another commentator, Raghunath Tirtha, takes the destruction part and takes this name to mean he who destroys his enemies. And there are many other names which give this meaning, the destroyer of enemies. So, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Kundali, so desires, this talk will be published also. And if not, we don't expect it not to be published, but if not, I trust that we have all been spiritually enlightened and enlivened, those of you who are present here now, by hearing this discussion of the name Kundali. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya churnakang padiyo nipatya kritva chakakushatam etad aham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad goranga chanda charne kurutanuraga. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mokarona vayang vichariyama. Hari rasa madhiram madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama niravisha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.